Hello, everybody. This is Blake Ruby from San Antonio. Good day to you all. This is my show, God is on the Sun. For those of you who might be wondering why my show is entitled that, well, don't forget, we are spirits in the material world. Our spirits in the material world. That song by the Police made famous. Well, what do you think your spirit is made of? It's made of light energy. And what's the source of light energy for our solar system? You got it, the sun. And the sun is more than just a body, heavenly body, if you will, providing light and heat for all the planets and moons of our solar system. It's also the center, the matrix. And do you think that the Creator is in charge, runs the rotation and revolution of all the planets and moons of one solar system and another, all the solar systems in the universe? Then I submit to you that you're mistaken, that there are individual gods for each solar system. But above all that, there are, let me rephrase myself, there is a supreme creator who is both male and female, who initiated the Big Bang, the creator of the physical universe and the spiritual universe, the parallel universe that's out there too, the fourth dimension, if you will. Well, good day, everybody. So a spirit, by the way, can live in the light. A spirit can live in fire. It could be the fire of hell, too, underneath the surface of the earth. Contrary to what John Lennon said in this song, above us only sky, no heaven and hell, above us only sky. Now, disagree. But he knows the truth now because he's over there in spirit lands, and I'm sure he's doing great and wonderful things among the myriad of activities there in heaven, the spirit world, the sun. He's a good man. I'm looking forward to seeing him one day when I get to heaven. Just think of all the wonderful people that have lived here on Earth from all cultures, from all over this planet, all over this world, throughout the centuries in the past. Famous people, people you don't even know of, not only people that you might have been friendly with or were aware of, but also relatives that you don't even know that you've got, they're going to be there. And my friends, a sad time for us here. You know, I was just talking with Doug, and, you know, with the pandemic going on, I did a little research not too long, just before my show, about the Spanish flu. And that started around 1918. Well, guess what was going on at that time? You got it. World War One. World War One was 1914-1918. And it ended in November of 18. And the Spanish flu began around January of 18. Now, does that, you see a correlation there? Well, now, I submit to you, look at what's going on now with us. And is there a correlation that you can think of that might be, you know, I'm trying to say, the negativity that was going on back then, the negativity now? Well, one reason that I've thought of is the very divisive, bitter, mean, unkind politics that have been going on in the recent past. Mr. Trump became president back in 2016. Since then, they had the Mueller investigation. Then it was the impeachment. He got impeached. I don't know if any of you watch a lot of television, CNN, any of the news channels. They're usually biased, you know. They're one side or the other, Republican or Democrat. You can call them that even, or a Republican news channel or Democratic news channel, which is what CNN is. And the competition, and don't be mistaken about that, my friends, the competition is very, very fierce, very cutthroat, backstabbing kind of competition. And why is that? Well, we could say there's a lot at stake, you know, with the politics, the presidency, the Congress, running this world. Excuse me. And I meant to say nation, but on the other hand, it could also be the world, because we are the leaders of the free world, are we not? Yes, we are. The United States is. So we have a lot of responsibility for how everyone else goes. And we can see that in the pandemic, even though it did initiate here in the United States, it came from China. And not ironically, but coincidentally, the Spanish flu I was just reading originated in China as well, they say. Now, how about that? What do you think of that? Back to what I was saying about the news. Well, if you've watched the news channels, you know how they're at each other back and forth. I mean, it's a lot of negativity, my friends. Rarely a good thing to say about anyone on the opposite side. So Mr. Trump was elected back in 2016 by over 15 million of your fellow Americans, Republicans, right? Over 50 million fellow Americans. But, well, I know Hillary had more votes than Mr. Trump did, and she would have won the popular vote. And that's another subject altogether, if they should do away with the Electoral College. But the point I was making is, think about a creator, God, if you will, out there in the distance looking at us and seeing all that's going on and wondering, these people, with their competition, the politics, the bitterness, I wonder if it might be time for a little divine intervention, say, of a brilliant strategic kind, say a pandemic, to get people's minds off all this divisive here in the United States competition between the two political parties. This is just, I'm throwing this out there for you to consider. I'm not saying this is the truth. I don't know. It might be. It might not be. So, and you know that God has done things like this before in the past. I'm just saying, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, Noah, back in Moses' time here on the earth, yes, people that lived on this earth just like you and me. The plague and the locusts and all those things that God did to help get the Israelis out of Egypt. So, there should be no doubt in anybody's mind that the Creator is capable of doing something like that at any time. If he's not happy with the way things are going, maybe not as punishment, but just to get things turned around. You know, during the State of the Union, I like Mr. Trump, first of all, don't get me wrong. I think he's a good man. I see the good in him. Now, some of the things he says, I don't agree with. And I wish he would curb his tongue sometimes, but I understand also he's a businessman, you know, in that bitter, competitive business world, to get ahead, you have to be that way sometimes. Is that the right way to run a country and be the free leader of the free world? No, I don't think it is. But I understand him. So at the State of the Union, wonderful opportunity to kind of bury the hatchet, to show a sign of goodwill, to forget and forgive. He doesn't shake Nancy Pelosi's hand. And then she retaliates by ripping up his speech at the end. Two acts of unkindness that could have been avoided, my friends. Now think, if you will, in the movie Even Almighty. You remember the first movie by Bruce Almighty? The first movie, Bruce Almighty. Even Almighty, he has a conversation with God in the form of Morgan Freeman, you know, the actor Morgan Freeman. And what does Morgan Freeman tell him? He says that the world will change. You'll help make the world a better place by random acts of kindness. Even just small things, saying hello to somebody, smiling at somebody as you're walking down the street, opening the door for someone, saying have a nice day after that. These little acts of random kindness are so important in a world where there's been a lot of war and killing in our past. But no. Instead, we have racks of unkindness, random acts of unkindness. And we have to do something about that, because when things get back to normal, and I'm assuming they will with this pandemic, we'll be going back to business as usual with the Republicans and Democrats going at each other's throats again. We need a country that's united, not divided. And it's going to be an interesting time between now and November when the American people will decide whether or not Mr. Trump gets reelected or Joe Biden and his female vice president, which I think is great news. To tell you the truth, I voted for Hillary. I wanted to see female president in the United States of America. I thought, well, we just had a black president for the first time. A female president would be appropriate. Why, you might ask? Well, because not only have women been a minority and mistreated throughout the years, imagine that. The mothers of our children who have a human being grow inside their bodies, even though the men have a little bit to do with that, no doubt. Their seeds, if you will. The mother of our children, co-creator gods, if you will, along with God, growing that fetus inside their bodies 9 months until a baby comes out. And we were babies at once, weren't we? We're big babies now. But women should be held up on a pedestal, respected, admired, loved, cherished for the co-creators with gods they are. But no, it hasn't been that way. Why? Because of the traditional male-dominated society we've been living in for thousands of years now. Money and power, physical power, has had more importance than brains, knowledge. And now women who use their brains more efficiently than men, that's been proven scientifically, are starting to come up, be noticed, get that equality they're deserving of. And so I think the world would be a better place indeed if there were more female, there was more female leadership. Because with more female leadership, there would be less wars, less killing. Does that make sense? A mother of children doesn't have that killer instinct like men do, so to speak, that competitiveness that would drive them to killing a fellow human being, a brother or sister in spirit. Am I right or am I right? More female leadership, is what we need. But it wasn't to be, and Mr. Trump was elected. I think because, for one thing, back then, if you remember, the national debt was in excess of $20 trillion. Funny how that would go, how that would be when at one time we had a surplus in dollars during President Clinton's administration. But 9/11 happened with George W. Bush's presidency, in his presidency. And it seemed like after that, we went downhill. Our economy suffered a great deal from 9/11. Makes you wonder who really initiated that. I've heard some theories in the recent past. But, my friends, I think I was trying to say we need to make some changes. There's a lot of people dying right now. Don't get me wrong. My heart goes out to those people, so to speak. May God bless all their souls. Makes me cry thinking about it. I saw on CNN, and I like CNN. I like everybody. I'm just saying that, can we be nicer? Can't we just get along? Remember Rodney King? Can't we just get along? Fellow Americans, we're supposed to be the United States. Let's be kind to each other, you know? Let's have something good to say about the opposite side. Democrats, say something nice about the Republicans. Republicans, say something nice about the Democrats. And now there's no sports, thanks to the pandemic. I think there's a place for sports. Although that spirit of competition can be unhealthy at times, if you will. And these professional sports players, I don't know if it's going to be the same in the future. You know, will stadiums be filled up again? Arenas? I don't think so. I don't know. It hurts me to see that they're making that money and now they're not going to be making it. There's a lot of people out there that are unemployed because of the pandemic. And that makes me very sad, too, to think that they're struggling to survive. They don't have enough food. They're worrying about paying their bills. Why? Because this pandemic. And I just find it hard to believe that we haven't come up with a vaccine by now. We have some incredible technology, absolutely wonderful technology. Think about the modern-day cars and all the fancy technological things on board that will make it stop before crashing into something. Or when you swerve through a lane, it'll beep you to let you know that you've gone outside the lane, along with 100 other things. Cars can almost drive themselves. Airplanes can do that now. All the technology on the modern-day airliner. We can send the men to the moon. We have iPads and computers. I can talk with my stepdaughter in Tokyo just by calling her on the phone. Have a conversation just like I'm talking to you right now, and she's over there in Tokyo. There's a satellite up there relaying that signal. You know, that's an amazing technology. And I know we have a lot of brilliant and dynamic scientists out there and doctors. Just please, I mean, what do you need? More money? I mean, certainly we have no lack of money to give them. Fame, they would be so famous if they can come up with a vaccine. And I'm not Sherlock Holmes, but I think I had an idea, you know. All these people that have been catching the COVID-19 flu, I mean, find something in common that they've done. Maybe they've eaten a kind of food. Maybe they drank a certain kind of water or alcohol. And then from then, they went downhill. They got the symptoms, and some people recover, some don't, you know, depending on your immune system and how healthy you are, in other words. oh, my friends, we need a new strategy as Americans going forward. We need to be kinder to each other. No more not shaking hands to people, you know? Reminds me of that song by Louis Armstrong, What a Wonderful World. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. And, you know, like Mr. Trump, he could have shaken their hand. That things would have been so much different. Just a simple act of kindness. So I put it out there to you and put it out in the atmosphere. Politicians out there, think of the founding fathers. Now, I don't know too much, maybe not as much as you, but I don't think they're really divided like Republicans and Democrats back then. I mean, they had their differences of opinions, no doubt, but not enough to where they'd be saying stuff against each other and trying to, you know, getting into fights and verbal altercations and at each other's throats, so to speak. No, they weren't that way. They work together. That's what we need now. We need a council of wise, wise people to run our country, who have the interests of the people, the well-being of the people in mind. No more competition, my side versus your side. It's become like a game. We're supposed to be doing what's right, not what's wrong. That's what this has all come down to, what's right and what's wrong, what's fair, what's just. And they forget about that. And they do the wrong thing because they go with party lines. And when Mr. Trump was impeached, was that really necessary? So a president calls a president of another country. We are the United States of America, the leaders of the free world. We have this country, Ukraine, a third world country, who is maybe just barely out of poverty. They know that we have money. They know they can do us favors. Mr. Trump asked for a favor. Please investigate Mr. Biden. You know, we hear that the rumor is he's done some illegal things in the past. Don't know if it's true or not, but could you find out? So then, the result of that, he gets impeached for abuse of power, obstruction of justice. Wouldn't something like a censure have been more appropriate? I mean, that's what presidents do in the United States of America. They call other presidents on the phone. They talk. They need money. It's just like a business deal, like Mr. Trump's used to, dealing with people business-wise. That wasn't grounds for impeachment, really. And so, even before that, it was the Mueller investigation, the Russian collusion. Was that, did it really happen? No one could say for sure it did. Mueller said, kind of exonerated him, but didn't come out and say, well, he didn't absolutely do that, if my memory serves me correct. He was a little bit ambiguous, in other words. And so it is. When one administration gets into power, the other ones are automatically on their back, so to speak, from that moment on until the next election, and then the changes around, vice versa. You know what I mean? So, another thing I wanted to talk about, my friends, and by the way, it's good to be back. I took a month off. I had to get my mind together as far as what was going on in the world. And I found that I have a lot of extra time on my hands, and I want my voice to be heard. I want to help make the world a better place. Now, you know, if you listen to any of my shows before, that I do talk about some pretty esoteric stuff. Spirituality. God is on the sun. Even that title itself will tell you that, man, this guy might be out in right field, you know, when it comes to talking about spiritual matters, religion, even religion, you know, there's so many different religions in the world, yet there's only one truth. So what's up with that? And, well, it's good to be back on the show. I only was two shows off. My last show was on the 14th of March, so let me rephrase that. I missed two shows, and I'm back. And I've got my input, my opinions to share with you. So thank you for listening. I've got lots of things I can talk about. And the time just seems to fly. Here in San Antonio right now, I'm out in my patio. It's been overcast all day. I was talking with Doug about another thing, too, before the show was, he thinks 80 degrees is a nice temperature to have. How would you like it for a daytime temperature constant throughout the year, 80 to 83 degrees, down to 70 at night, a nice 70 degrees, and which is suitable to go to sleep and, you know, be kind of cool, and you can have a good 8 hours of rest, you know. You people out there that are not getting enough rest, you need to get 8 hours of rest. You need to eat properly. No smoking. No more smoking cigarettes, too. But I don't want to judge. I'm not a judge. I don't want to judge you. You are co-creator gods in the making. You know, that's why we're here on this planet. Because we're living. We are alive, my friends. We are alive. We are. Every second is very valuable. It's like a school here in the University of the Universe, my friends, on this planet Earth. There's such an abundance of life. And if you listen to my shows before, I love to say this. All this life here on Earth, if it happened by accident, I'm talking about over a million types of insects, 30,000 types of fish, 10,000 types of birds, 10,000 types of reptiles, 9,000 types of amphibians, 5,000 types of mammals, all the fruits and vegetables, the trees and the flowers, thousands and thousands of different types. If all this life here happened by accident, as atheists would make you believe, then could it not happen by accident elsewhere in the universe, anywhere? But if there is a creator out there who is knowledgeable enough and powerful enough to create either that same life or perhaps different life, don't you think that creator could create life on planets elsewhere in the universe? In other words, of course, that's logical. Carl Sagan once said, and UFOs, I like to talk about them. They're out there. There's no doubt in my mind. I bridge the gap between belief and knowledge, my friends. I know that they're out there. Yet Carl Sagan, in his movie Cosmos, said that extraordinary claims need extraordinary evidence. And he didn't always feel that way. He did believe in UFOs and extraterrestrial life until the scientific astronomical community got him to change his mind because they were going to ostracize him. That's what I heard. But Mr. Sagan, in due respect, with all due respect, because he's passed away, he's in the spirit lands, now he knows the truth. But the extraordinary evidence is out there about UFOs and extraterrestrials. All you have to do is ask the 10,000 people in the city of Phoenix, Arizona, who saw a mile-wide spaceship fly over the city in 1997. You think they're all crazy? They saw the same thing. Or how about the Hudson Valley UFO, where 5,000 people over a span of 2 to 3 years saw a triangular-shaped spacecraft fly over Hudson Valley? How about in the Bible, with Ezekiel, a wheel in the sky, about the Nazca Lines in Peru, Easter Island. The evidence is there, my friends. You just want, if you think otherwise, you just want a flying saucer to come and land in your backyard. Then you'll be really convinced, right? That's the kind of evidence you need, empirical evidence. You want NASA to go to Europa, one of Jupiter's moons, put a probe on its surface, which is made of ice, have that probe sink beneath the ice, melt through the ice, 60 miles down into the ocean, on the ocean floor where there's hydrothermal vents, and take pictures of what they think is life. There should be life there. Then you'll be convinced. I don't know what kind of life that would be. Maybe small fish. They'll come back with pictures of small fish on Europa. Yes, there is life elsewhere in the solar system, probably in the universe too. Is that the kind of evidence you need too? Or do you really need ET to land in your backyard? Take Travis Walton, the man in the fire in the sky. I saw an interview, a YouTube interview of him. He wants to be really convinced that these ETs do exist. Watch a video by Travis Walton. There's an interview of him, at least one, on YouTube. And you might have seen the movie Fire in the Sky about when he was abducted by these extraterrestrials from another planetary system. Not sure if it's in our galaxy or another galaxy, my friends out there. But they took him on board and they had to kind of repair his body because he was zapped. He walked underneath a flying saucer. And you don't do that because if you know anything about these flying saucers, is that they are creating their own electromagnetic anti-gravity field interacting with the Earth's atmosphere. So he got zapped by that energy. They thought they fired the beam of light, but it's my opinion that he walked into the electromagnetic field and was just thrown back. Yes, and so our world is in a sorry state. I mean, we're doing very good. You know, I love you. You know, you're out there. You're my brothers and sisters in spirit. And we've survived. You know, a lot of people have died over the years through wars and killing over the centuries. But we're living in the golden times now. And over the last 100 years or so, as you know, there has been this beginning of the industrialization age, the automobile, fossil fuels. Did you know that Nikola Tesla, round about the beginning of the 20th century, 19-something, had discovered, invented a way to extract energy from the atmosphere? We could have had free zero point, I think it's called, energy, way back then, but the fossil fuel industry and the billions and trillions of dollars that entails got their way, and we've been pumping gasoline into our cars ever since, if you know what I mean. That is not the way, my friends. We need to make some serious changes. In the light of this pandemic going on, we need to reevaluate ourselves. We need to be kinder, gentler, like George Bush said. And one thing I heard about George Bush Sr. is he was a CIA director one time. And did you know that Jimmy Carter, even before him, Jimmy Carter saw a UFO? If you don't believe me, check it out on the internet. And this is before he became president. He saw, and if you've seen a UFO, it'll change your life, you know. You'll be thinking about that a lot afterwards. I'm a member of Toastmasters, and I give speeches. I listen to other people give speeches. I heard this one lady, and she gave her speech on this UFO that she'd seen. It was very convincing, very real, and then after that, she didn't come back. But But Jimmy Carter saw a UFO, and he documented it. And I think Ronald Reagan did, too. But you know what? When Jimmy Carter got into power, became president, he tried to get the government to release all the information it had about extraterrestrials. And guess what the number one document is in the FBI files? You go to the FBI website, what is the number one document that people are watching nowadays? Looking at, it's a document from 1947, Roswell, where in an official memo, they say that three flying saucers had been recovered. And bodies to go along with it. And these bodies are like, let me describe them for you. Big heads, arms and legs, childlike stature, you know, they're kind of thin, 4 feet tall, and they would fly the spaceship. Now I know some more information about them by using their hands. They have a helmet on, and they would communicate through their hands to the spaceship, turn left, okay, we turn left, go up, go down, down. They would tink. They would tink, but you would use your hands on like a dashboard kind of thing to fly the flying saucer. So Jimmy Carter, though, when he became president, they told him, George Bush Sr., getting back to him, he told, as a CIA director, said, sir, you don't have a need to know. That is not for the president to know. And they would not give him what he wanted. He wanted to open up all those files? No. And every president that has come to power, even back to right after Roswell, Eisenhower, Truman, all of them, even Kennedy. And Kennedy, there's a separate story with Kennedy. I could take 15 minutes to tell you about what Kennedy knew about extraterrestrials. Nixon, what he knew. He took Jackie Gleason to an Air Force base in Florida one time, and they saw this ET, which was frozen, an extraterrestrial from another planet, possibly from another galaxy, they had on ice. Jackie Gleason, they said, you know Jackie Gleason, right? They said that he didn't eat for 3 days. He was so shocked by this. So, guess what? You don't have a need to know. Also, my friends out there, because you can't handle the truth, I'm sorry to say, you panic. You're a panicker. But let me, I don't want to say anything negative. I apologize if I offended you. But on a serious note, there are people dying now from this pandemic. But I don't want my shows to be all sad, you know. I'm respectful of what's going on, am I not? And I'm trying to help. And I've got some ideas to share, try to make things better. And, you know, I go back and forth with my ideas, my subjects on this show. So it's all related, though. Bear with me. You know, I'm only trying to say positive things, nothing negative. Although I might admonish, I might mildly rebuke some people, you know, especially during this pandemic, smokers, you shouldn't be smoking. I mean, I used to smoke, so I really can't judge you, but my advice would be not to smoke. Or maybe, you know, we live in an oxygen-depraved society, my friends. You heard me correctly. I said oxygen-depraved. Because, do you know the air, the atmosphere out here? I'm in my patio. It's wonderful to have this fresh air. The air is made up of approximately 80% nitrogen, 20% oxygen. Yet we hop in our cars and turn the air conditioning on. Why? Well, for one thing, we want to block out the noise. And that's a whole separate subject right there, noise pollution. You think that it doesn't bother you? Well, yes, it does. I don't believe you. noise does bother you. There's a lot of it out there. Noisy trucks, motorcycles, jets. I've been putting my windows down in my car now when I go places. Put the radio on. I can hear the music playing, but cars go by me and it is so loud. To the left or to the right, you know. Yet, if we close the windows and put our air conditionings on, by the way, I should have said this from the beginning. Anything that I say or any advice that I give you, any guidance, be sure to consult with your doctor first because it might be dangerous if you try to do these things without the advice of a physician. Okay? Just so I don't have any lawsuits afterwards. But in regard to putting your windows down, one thing I've noticed, my friends, is that all of a sudden I can smell the air around the trees, the fields, the flowers. It all comes into view. It all comes into right there, you know. It's beautiful. But when we have our air conditioners on, I mean, there's a lot of fumes, gasoline fumes on the highway too. But that makes it even worse for you to have your air conditioning on because that is not real air. It's fake air. And then you're also filtering those same gas fumes that are out there on the highway. So that's worse. So my recommendation would be that everybody, when they drive their car, at least open your windows up a little bit, get some fresh air in. And maybe you can also have the air conditioning on if you want to, but please. We live in an oxygen-depraved society, my friends. That's the fact. I mean, our houses, too. People lock up their houses, close the windows. They're worried about the allergies they have, the allergens that are out there, the different mold. I submit to you, and don't forget, I'm entitled to my opinion because I've been dealing with allergies myself. I'm supposed to have been allergic to cats my whole life, but I've grown up with cats, and I'm still living with cats. And I deal with the allergies. As long as they don't scratch me, or if I pat them and then rub my eye, then I'm good. But I submit to you, one of the reasons that people have allergies is because they eat too much sugar. Now, I don't want to judge you, and I'm sorry if I offended you. But just consider that. Do a little research yourself on the internet. You know I love you. I know you're co-creator, God's in the making. You know, if you have a heart and a brain in your body and you can die, you are co-creator, God. You're going to die one day. You're going to continue on in the afterlife. You're going to reincarnate on another planet, maybe this planet, maybe another planet in the Milky Way galaxy or another galaxy, even an Earth-like planet, which has many life forms on it. And our world is such a beautiful world, isn't it, when you consider all the different life here? So, I just, from one God to another God in the making, let's just pull together. Pray. Pray, my friends. Pray more. Pray like you've never prayed before. And when there's more of you praying, that's even better. Hold hands. Make those powerful prayers because you are God's. Jesus said, you are God's in the making. You can do even greater things than I did. And what greater things are we talking about here? I mean, could you raise someone from the dead? Can you cast out demons, demon-possessed people, cure lepers, cure paralyzed people, help the blind to see, turn water into wine, calm a raging sea, feed 5,000 people, like on the Sermon on the Mount, walk on water, all those things that Jesus did. You can do that too, because all it takes, my friends, is knowledge. Knowledge. And what do we gain? How do we gain knowledge? Well, in our everyday lives, from the moment we wake up to when we go to sleep, it's an opportunity to do that. Every day is a gift. We must take advantage of every moment. And so pray. Prayer send up those prayers, those words that you speak to make a difference. Those words that you speak will be lifted up into the atmosphere. And this planet of ours is keeping track of all the words that you speak. There's a, I forget what it's called, but the words that we speak to make a difference. They can either create or destroy. You've heard some people speaking sometimes. You know the power of words. You know what I mean. Yes, you do. You know what I mean. People can be very cutting. Cuts like a knife, that song by Bryan Adams. So let's be more mindful. This pandemic might have been, I'm just tossing it out there, okay? Possible, it might be true, it might not be true. Might be because God, the Creator, a mother and father God, who I also call God, because together, when they create, they merge their spirits, they create souls and spirits, they can create planets, they can create whatever, because like the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So our words, that's how it happens in the universe. The Supreme Creator, in the beginning, when the Supreme Creator initiated the Big Bang, notice I didn't say he. I don't like using he or she because the Supreme Creator is both male and female. Androgynous, kind of like angels. And from the very beginning, one solar system after another, until there were so many solar systems and then a new galaxy had to be formed. That was the Supreme Creator's plan. It's amazing, isn't it? The Supreme Creator is awesome to the nth power. And the plan was that each solar system would have a co-creator God, someone who's been through the process of evolution, one life to another. Some may have 200 lives. And you'll find out for yourself, if you don't believe me, when you transition, cross over to the other side, all of a sudden, all your questions will be answered and you'll know the truth. So on our sun, which is the spirit world, as I mentioned, the spirit is made of light energy, the source of light energy in this solar system of ours is the sun. The spirit can live in fire. So there is where heaven is. And it's a very beautiful, beautiful world like this planet, except the matter there is made of spirit matter. Here on Earth is physical matter. But still in heaven you have trees, you have grass, flowers, you've got mountains, valleys, rivers, lakes, seas, oceans. You've got so much beauty, and the colors are so much more intense because that's the essence of what this is. Physical matter was created from spiritual matter. It's like an old Polaroid film. The light, the dark, let me start with that first, is like the negative, you know, before it starts to develop, it's like what Earth is. And heaven is when it develops into the fully colorful picture. So, my friends, co-creator gods, we are the children of our mother and father in heaven. We are. And about the Bible, there's a lot I believe with the Bible, but some things I don't believe. But going back to what I said about the pandemic, we need to pray. And let me make a prayer. I'll say a prayer right now. Of course, you know, if God did initiate this, when I say God, it's just an easy way of saying Mother and Father God, unless I'm talking about the Supreme Creator, as I just explained, if God did initiate this pandemic, then that's in accordance with God's will. And it will play out the way God wants it to. However, our prayers can change things. Prayers do change things. So we need to pray. Here's a prayer. Because I don't like seeing my fellow human beings out there struggling without a job, wondering if they're going to have enough food to eat, how they're going to pay their monthly rent. It makes me cry just thinking about it. Not to mention the people that are dying, that are catching this illness. And it's pretty bad, you know. I had the flu, what I thought was the flu, last November on a cruise I took. My wife had it before we went on the cruise, and then we slept in the same room together, and I caught it. It could have been the coronavirus. I don't know. But I recovered from it. I took antibiotics when I got back. And in a couple of weeks, it was cleared up. So here's this prayer. Now, I want, my friends, one thing you should know, that if God wants something to happen, something like this, he's going to have the devil do it. When I talk about the devil, I'm talking about Archangel Lucifer, who's in charge of the demons and hell, God's jail. Archangel Michael's in charge of the angels. But when God gives a directive for the devil, Archangel Lucifer, to follow, he complies. And it's very easy to start something like a virus or a plague, a pandemic, or maybe a natural catastrophe, a killer hurricane, or tornadoes. They just don't happen automatically, I believe. But anyway, here's this prayer. So let me also just say, in regard to Archangel Lucifer, some people, especially the traditional Christians, believe that the devil is to blame for a lot of things, a lot of negativity. Well, I submit to you, that's not entirely true. Because if you believe that God is all-powerful and all-knowledgeable, and then God could destroy the devil if she wanted to. Am I right? Yes, of course I'm right. God has more power than the devil, the way you look at it, the way I look at it. Well, we both look at it that way, but I look at it as the devil working for God. And the reason for the negativity is just being on a planet like this, where animals eat each other and the atmosphere fluctuates, the barometric pressure rises and falls. The pressure of the atmosphere is pushing down on us. In other words, we're dealing with the stressful situation of these times, the technology, the noise pollution. Don't forget what I said about noise pollution. It exists, but we need to recognize it before we go on. So the devil, Archangel Lucifer, works for God, because God could destroy the devil. If they believe that the devil, some people believe that the devil intimidates us, antagonizes us, forces us into doing things. Well, that's partially true. But like I said, the logic is plain and simple. If God is more powerful, you can't give the devil the same power as God. If God is more powerful and more knowledgeable, God could destroy the devil if God wanted to, thinking that, well, I'm tired of the devil harassing my people. I think I'll kill the devil. That would make more sense, you know. But that's not the way it is. But our prayers can change that. So here's a prayer. And I believe in archangels, you know. Not only is there Michael, the king of the angels, and Lucifer, who is very beautiful. He does his job, you know. Just like he was created to, God knew perfectly what he was doing and did not. So I've got 1 minute, my friends. I've got to say goodbye. So here's this prayer. God, Mother and Father God, Supreme Creator, all the same. I ask, please, that you would help Archangel Raphael to end this pandemic. He is the angel, archangel of healing. If it's in accordance with your will, and I pray that it is, please help us. We're in need of help. Bless us all, everyone. Thank you for everything. But there are so many people struggling. Please, I ask you to reconsider and help us to end this pandemic. Help us to find a vaccine as soon as possible. Help us, period. Please, God. All right, my friends, I'll talk to you in 2 weeks' time. Take good care. I love you. And may God bless us, everyone, like I said. Bye-bye.